This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fih mubarakan alayhi kama yuhibbu rabbuna wa yirda jalla jalaluhu wa amma nawaluh wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil habibil Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, we have Ramadan right around the corner, and while we've had numerous talks and you must have numerous mashallah bits of guidance about how best to get the most out of Ramadan and spend Ramadan and take advantage of it, there's one angle that I want to cover today which I think is very important, and this is that we need to really work towards removing any kind of barrier between us and receiving the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if we're trying or not trying, there is something which is going to maybe stop us, and that is, there's a concept in our Sharia which is actually one of the blameworthy traits. It's called ya'sun. It's ya's. Ya's means to be despairing in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called ya's in Arabic. And la tay'asu min rahmatillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that do not become despondent in Allah's mercy. La ya'asu min rawhillah, it is only the people who have been given guidance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who do not despair in Allah's mercy. So that's mentioned quite a bit of time, a few times in the Quran. What does ya's mean? What does this despair entail? It is basically despair of the mercy of Allah, as Allama Nahlawi describes it. Despair of the mercy of Allah is to imagine the absence of Allah's mercy and bounty, and then for the heart to become fully convinced of that, that there is no mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming, and then to remain without even the slightest bit of hope. So there's absolutely no hope left in the heart that anything can come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. And of course, if it gets to this level where you have absolutely no hope in the heart whatsoever, it means that we have no belief in the unseen. That is what it's tantamount to. And that means that that is a level of kufr and a level of disbelief in that regard. So a person has to work on that to get an understanding and get a belief and develop the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there and there is His mercy. And this is what we're going to be discussing. Likewise, on a very similar level, it's something very similar, which is a person to feel secure from the devising of Allah. This is what I would call amn, which means for a person to feel secure from the devising of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the heart to be completely at ease and fully convinced that the person will not be taken to account for their disobedience. The reason that this can come about is if a person is rejecting the attribute of retaliation or intiqam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-muntaqim, the one who retaliates, the one who can seize somebody for something wrong that they have done. He is the one who can give punishment, who can deliver punishment. So if a person becomes fully convinced at heart that I am completely secure, I am in amn, I am in complete security, there is nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do to me. Generally, this kind of attitude comes about because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala putting the person in a state of istidraj, which means allowing him a loose lead, that okay, go further into your indulgence, go further into your sinning, and eventually when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, he will capture that person. So these are two things. One is to despair completely in Allah's mercy, and the other one is to have full conviction that there is absolutely no way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take a person to task. Both of these are massive problems. The opposite of this is hope, raja, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will forgive, that He will grant me, that He will remove me from these problems that I have, that He will give me an opening, He will give me security, He will give me a cure from the illnesses that I have. people have various different things, and sometimes they last for years and years and years, and then they feel that they're never going to get better, that they're never going to have a better time, they're never going to have any kind of prosperity. And this is the opposite of raja. Raja means that for a person in the heart, for a person to have this hope in the heart, a gladness in the heart, due to the knowledge of Allah's immense favor, and then for the heart to feel a repose and satisfaction in realizing the incredible vastness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. This is what you call hope. And this is what we need to bring in to remove the state of yes and despondency and hopelessness, because it is very, very detrimental. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu says, he said to a man whose fear had led him to despair due to his sheer number of sins, as a person who had huge number of sins, and because of that become completely despondent, that who's going to forgive a sinner like me? Now, when a person generally feels like that, they don't feel like doing tawbah because they feel that there can't be any tawbah for that. There can't be any repentance for that. So generally what happens is that it just drives them to more sins. And that's why you hear certain people saying, I'm going to hell anyway. I can't be forgiven. I'm the worst person. There's no way that I can get any kind of repentance or forgiveness for this. And that's very sad. That's why Ali radiallahu anhu said to such a person, and think of these words carefully, he said, your despair of Allah's mercy is actually more severe a crime than all of your other crimes. All of the other sins that you've committed, they're not as severe as you thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot show you any mercy. Because here what you're doing is, there you just fell prey to certain lowliness and certain weaknesses within your nafs, and you did sins. However, in this case, what you are doing is that you are rejecting an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He reminds us of every day, several times a day. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's constantly mentioned. Two characteristics, two qualities that are full of mercy and blessing, that He wants us to repeat each time we read the Surah Al-Fatiha in our Salat. In fact, each time you do something, you say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, to remind us of this. So how can it be that that mercy cannot do anything for us when Allah is there wanting to give that mercy to us, especially as the month of Ramadan comes in? True hope, true raja and hope, which is the opposite of despondency, is to have a high aspiration in performing spiritual works with excellence and beauty. And that's why the sign of true hope is exceptional obedience. That's what a person has to lead themselves to doing. Shah al-Kirmani says that after doing your good deeds in the best manner possible, it is then to have a good opinion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will accept them out of His immense generosity, and despite one's shortcomings therein, hope in divine acceptance, that Allah accept, this hope in turn inspires even more spiritual resolve, that you will then do more. So, on the other hand, delusional hope, which is what we call tamanni in Arabic, which is to be lazy and spiritually idle while relying on the divine mercy and saying Allah is merciful anyway. You know, that is taking Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim in the wrong context. That a person doesn't do anything, he's spiritually idle, lazy, in fact, committing sins, and just thinks Allah's going to forgive, Allah's going to forgive. On the other hand, the person tries their best and then says, Allah will forgive. I'm going to try to make my tawbah of the sins that I've committed. Ramadan is coming, and I know that in Ramadan there's an absolute storm of mercy that descends upon people. So I want to get completely drenched in that. And I want to take from that mercy and all my previous sins and wrongdoings and all my idleness and all my laziness and all my weaknesses. I want to remedy them this Ramadan, and I want to be a changed person, because Ramadan, every moment of it is so powerful that it can turn an absolute sinner into one of the greatest of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Abu Sahl al-Su'luki was seen in a dream. He's one of the righteous people of the past. When he was seen in a dream after his demise, his appearance was incredibly beautiful as seen in the dream. He was asked, how did you attain this? How are you so beautiful now in this state? He replied that this I got by my good opinion about Allah. That I always kept a good opinion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regardless of my state, I always believed that Allah was there for me. That is very important to remove the depression from our lives. Shaitan will create depression. Shaitan will create an absence. Try to create a vacuum between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, by my good opinion of my Lord, by my good opinion of my Lord. Similarly, Imam Malik, the great Imam of Medina Munawwara, Imam Malik ibn Anas rahimahullah, he was asked on the evening of the night that he passed away. He hasn't even passed away yet. He is in the last throes of his life. O Abu Abdullah, how do you find yourself? How are you right now? And he replied, I know not what to say to you. I know not what to say to you except that you shall behold of divine pardoning. You shall experience of divine forgiveness what you have no way of measuring. An absolute storm of forgiveness will overcome. They closed his eyes shortly thereafter and he passed away. Shaykh al-Islam Zakariya al-Ansari says about this incident that Imam Malik could not express. If you look at his words, he was unable to express what he was experiencing due to his bewilderment. His bewilderment, his surprise at the divine mercy that was unfolding onto him. This was coupled, he says, with the beautiful forms of angels handling his spirit. That's the kind of ending that we want. And then he says, indeed those close to Allah shall have, which is related by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who speaks on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that people will experience, those who are the close ones to Allah, they will experience what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what has not even as much as occurred to the human heart and the human mind. So, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us of this hope. May Allah give us of this effort and this hope, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us of His mercy. How do we increase this hope? How do we engender this hope within us? Its cause is to bear. Imam Nahlawi says that its cause is to bear in mind the previous bounties upon us. There must have been some time in our past, in our history, in our past days, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us some bounties. Maybe when we were young, maybe when we were youth, maybe at a particular time. I'm sure every one of us can recall some time when we felt and sensed the bounties upon us, granted us for no deed of our own, nor intercession of another. I mean, think of sometimes when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us things, when you've got a raise in your job for no reason, when you've suddenly been given a gift, or suddenly something opened up for you, something good happened in your life and you felt, wow, this is something extra, and you weren't making much effort about it even to start with. That proves that Allah's mercy is there. He gives when He wants anyway. So why wouldn't He give if we ask in a sincere fashion? So number one is to think and bear in mind all of these previous bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He grants us without even having to ask or intercession from anybody else, but purely out of Allah's fadl and His grace and His largesse. Number two is, all we have to keep in mind all the immense reward He has promised. And for that, you need to read the Quran. You need to read the verses of hope. And for that, we need to read the hadith. And we need to read the stories of the pious and their experiences in that regard. Because the more we read about these things, the more you get to like these things and understand these things. And thus we then can hope for them. When you want to buy a new car, you identify a particular car at maybe somebody's recommendation. You start reading more about it. And you see all of the qualities. You find out all of the qualities of these things. And then you want to get that car. If it's a phone, it's the same thing. Somebody recommends something to you. Read more about it. They tell you more about it. The recommendations come in. The reviews are positive. And thus then you get more interested. And there is no way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can have any bad reviews. It's always going to be positive. It just takes us to try to keep them in mind. The immense reward that He has promised, even without us deserving it in the full manner whatsoever. And number two is to just keep in mind the vastness of Allah's mercy. and the stories that we see where Allah's mercy has been manifested, which completely outstrips his wrath. And that's why it's written prominently above his throne that my mercy has overcome my anger, my wrath. And that means that in most cases, in the overwhelming majority of cases, he is going to be dealing with his mercy. He's not going to be dealing with his anger, wrath, and his justice. Because when it comes to good deeds, he wants to just give from his mercy. He'd rather forgive than to punish. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's made that his nature to deal with us. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a beautiful verse, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. O my servants who have been excessive, meaning in transgression, against themselves, despair not in Allah's mercy. Allah certainly forgives all sins. الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. He forgives all sins, for He alone is oft forgiving and ever merciful. He is the oft forgiving one, the one that frequently forgives, the one that forgives over and over again, and the one who forgives even the greatest of misdeeds. And He is the ever merciful one. His forgiveness comes through His mercy as well. It's narrated on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by Allah, on the day of resurrection, Allah will grant a forgiveness. Allah will grant a forgiveness on Qiyamah, on the day of resurrection, that has never occurred in a person's mind. The sheer amount and vastness and the power of that forgiveness would have never occurred in anybody's mind. To the extent, and this really shows you how vast it will be, to the extent that Iblis himself will outstretch his neck out of hope that perhaps it will also reach him. He's going to see this mercy coming down and he thinks, okay, today is a day of forgiveness and mercy. Let me see if I can even benefit. Now that tells you something. This is related by Ibn Abi Dunya. It's narrated that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Allah divided mercy into 100 parts. He kept 99 with him, meaning he's withheld 99 with him. He's only sent one portion of that entire mercy, just 1%, into the world. And so from this one part extends the mercy among creation for one another. When you see somebody doing an act of mercy, expressing an act of mercy, being merciful to somebody else, you see the same mercy that you have in your, as mothers that you have for your children and for others, and you see that expression on others, and it really takes you back. So much so, it says that to the extent, I mean the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim says, to the extent that the beast will lift its hoof for its own child. Despite the fact that we look at a beast as just a wild animal, but Allah has given it its mercy as well, that it looks after its child for the number of days or number of weeks or for the period of time that it requires for them to stand on their own. And thus it won't trample over them. And this is an animal that we would call wild, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired it with its mercy as well, that it lifts its hoof for its own child lest it strike it. And this hadith is related by Bukhari and Muslim. In another narration of Imam Muslim, it mentions, and he has postponed the other 99 parts that he has withheld. He will grant this to his servants on the day of resurrection. So we can hope for an immense amount of reward. SubhanAllah, it fills us with so much hope, this does. Especially when the month of Ramadan is coming as well. That's why Ibn Ata'illah al-Iskandari says that let no sin be so immense in your mind. Let no sin be so immense in your mind that it bars you from having a good opinion about Allah. There is no sin that is so great that it prevents you from saying that Allah can forgive me about this. From having a good opinion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed, he who knows his Lord will consider his sin to be insignificant compared to the divine generosity. So the answer to all of this really is that you need to read the Quran with reflection. You need to see the verses and you need to read the ahadith on mercy.
This is what you, and today if you even search online, you will see huge amounts of collections where people would have collected all of the ayat and the verses of mercy all together. And these are really, really helpful for people who are generally depressed about this. Likewise, the explanation of this from Ibn Abbad, he says that the immensity of sin in the perpetrator's mind could be of two types. You know, when a person has committed a sin, there is two ways that it can affect us. The magnanimity, the greatness of that sin, the seriousness of that sin can affect us in two different ways. Number one, it will either propel us to stop committing them. Oh, this is so bad, I'm never going to do this again. This is just the limit now. I've overstepped the boundaries. There's no way that I can do this. And the more enormous one's deed deems his evil deed, then the secret of this is that the greater you think your sin is, the less it has consequence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Essentially, the more seriousness we take our sin and look towards forgiveness, then that is how insignificant it becomes in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is how much easier it actually becomes for Him to forgive it. That's the wonderful thing. But of course, if it becomes so great that we think it's beyond Allah's mercy, then that becomes an act of disbelief and not knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, as great as the sin may be, if we are thinking that Allah's mercy can forgive this, Allah can forgive this out of His mercy, then that sin becomes small in Allah's sight. And that is why it is said, the more insignificant one deems his good deeds, the opposite, the more insignificant we think of our good deeds, that is how much greater their worth is with Allah. Because then we won't be attributing them to ourselves. We'll just be thinking that this is just something I have to do as a slave of Allah. Our sincerity will be greater, and their reward and their status in Allah's sight will be much higher. And the more enormous one deems his evil deeds, the less their consequence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, when a person commits a huge sin, this was the first way, this was the first approach and the first consequence. The second consequence is that it makes him full of despair. It makes him full of despair, makes him hopeless, and it leads to having a bad opinion about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is so blameworthy, this is so problematic, this is so dangerous that it can actually remove your faith. And it is indeed worse than all of the other sins because it leads to kufr, and kufr is the worst of sins. Its cause, why would this happen? Only one reason. Its cause is the sheer ignorance of the attributes of his master, the kind, the generous, the noble, coupled with the person's siding with his own ego and drawing an analogy using just his reason and his supposition. This is just based on maybe prior experience that nothing happened, maybe seeing what other people have done, or just allowing shaitan to overcome his nafs to feel that nothing can happen for him. Had he but known his Lord with true understanding, he would deem his sins trivial compared to the divine generosity and bounty. And for what worth or value does the slave have? Think about this carefully. What value does anybody have? What worth does any human hold that he could perpetrate a sin that his Lord could not forgive and his Lord's mercy cannot encompass? Meaning, how big are you? How great are you that you can do something that can even overwhelm Allah's mercy and render it feeble and too weak to deal with your mercy, to deal with your sin? How big do you think you are as a person? Or a sin too great for his Lord to forgive? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up his doors of mercy for us and his doors of guidance for us. Remove the darknesses of our heart that linger around and that cause these confusions and these problems within us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a closeness to Him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly forgive us during this coming month of Ramadan and keep us forgiven. وآخر الدعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.